up, Wisconsin? Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Guess what? It's Brewers Cubs Day. They're playing at AmFam Field tonight. They have split the series so far. Extra innings. The Cubbies took one off the crew last night. First pitch at 6:40 this evening. You can check it out on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. WRJN in Racine has got you covered at 99.9 FM and 1400 AM. And of course, in Kenosha at 98.1 FM. WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. And of course, WCQM 98Q Country in Park Falls at 98.3 FM. I'll be listening this afternoon. It's a beautiful day to listen to a Brewers game. You a Brewers fan, Tom?
Big time, yeah. I watched a little bit of that game last night. What a bummer, but
heartbreaker.
It's good to beat the Cubs. That's all I can say about that.
Absolutely. I love it when I can fly the big old L flag. Speaking of losers and winners, we got Gary on the line from Sussex. We're going to bring Gary back. I just wanted to set the stage a little bit. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Trump's hush money trial. I'm joined by my special guest, former Navyman, a veteran, Tom Paulswitz, also former candidate for U.S. Congress. The question that I'd like to ask folks out there, and I'll get to you in a second, Tom, and I want to ask Gary this as well. If you look at what the possible outcomes here are, which is he's convicted on all counts, he's acquitted on all counts, some sort of mixed bag, potentially a hung jury on some counts. I just don't see how Trump doesn't spin this into some kind of a win for him. He's acquitted. It's a win. He's convicted. He's a martyr. It's a mixed bag. It's still, a political prosecution. I think of all of the cases, this has always been the one that I'm least comfortable with. It's the oldest case. And I just think it's problematic for a whole number of reasons. Wanted to get Gary in here real quick. He's been a very patient man. Gary, what do you think? Is there any way this doesn't play as a win for Trump? I don't get it. I don't get how this works in any way for the prosecution, no matter what the result.
Well, Maggie, you're absolutely 100% right. My wife and I are praying that he's found guilty, because if he's found guilty and they throw him in jail, they put him in the Huber Law or whatever, that's going to be wonderful, because he's going to be our martyr. So it's going to go from 80 million people to probably 120 million people are going to vote for him. So the Democrats, you got to be careful what you ask for. You know, they're causing a lot of problems, and it's working in reverse. Now, Donald Trump is not my first choice. Donald Trump is about my last choice. But, Maggie,
are you going to vote for him anyways? I mean, forget the hush money trial. You're going to vote for him anyways, even though you wouldn't trust him in a room alone with your daughter, your wife, or your mother.
Heck no. I wouldn't even trust him alone with me. You know? the guy's got problems. Okay. So, no, I wouldn't trust him. But I think he did well for everybody. And, you know, I listened.
What if that's not true, Gary? Like, I understand your perspective. You believe he did well for everybody. We're going to start 100 days of Joe Biden. The top things that I think Joe Biden has accomplished in his past 4 years, and what he's promising to do if he's elected to a second term. I'm going to bake into that some criticisms of Trump. What if he really hasn't made things better for you, Gary? What if that's just a baloney line that he's trumpeting? Does it matter to you if it's true or not?
Well, I'm a Republican. I used to be a Democrat until Reagan. Reagan was the first Republican, so I switched completely.
Then, I get you, but Donald Trump is not a Reagan conservative, right? Like, you'd agree with that. He's not a Reagan conservative. He increased the deficit by $8 trillion.
Yeah, he shoots things out of his mouth. The only thing is with him is he is tough. I don't know if any other Republican could take on the Democrats.
How do you define tough? Is it just about winning?
I think that you can throw darts at him and they'll keep coming at you, because, you know.
But why is that? Why is that a good thing? Why is a completely unaccountable president who just attacks constantly? Why is that a good thing? Is it just about winning, Gary?
as far as the Democrats, they're relentless. They, if he gets elected again, they're going to impeach. And if they get the Congress, if they get Congress, they'll impeach him 5 or 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know.
No, they, first of all, no, they won't. And that's objection, non-responsive. Is it just the winning that matters, Gary? Is it the winning? Let's assume that Donald Trump it has committed some crime that perhaps matters, whether it's taking national secrets and not returning them when asked, not returning them when asked again, not returning them when asked a third time, not returning them when his lawyer told them to return them, not returning them after Benny served multiple subpoenas, eventually requiring a raid. Suppose he just had national secrets laying around in his room. Suppose he did intend to incite a riot at the Capitol. Suppose he's done some really bad things. Does that matter, or is it only the winning that matters to you, Gary?
I do not like a lot of the stuff that he has done in the past, but I think that he was a – no, listen, Meg, give me a second. I think he was president when he was a president. He was good for everybody, you, me, black young men. And you know what's going to happen? Because I do listen to black radio. I listen to Tory Lowe, and he's out there telling, look, we got to give the Republicans a chance.
But they had a chance, Gary. A million people died of COVID. Trump got on a stage and told people that a little light shined into your body and maybe a little bleach would cure COVID. Ron Johnson repeated more nonsense about that. Why is that good for people? Lying in ignorance about something, a disease, a pandemic that could kill people. Why is that good for people?
I think in my heart, and I'm not giving facts. I'm only giving you what I think. I think Donald Trump would make a wonderful president for everybody if you guys of the, I'm not saying you, but if the Democrats would just give him a chance.
So, but
Gary, Maggie, let me jump in for a second. Gary, this is fascinating because two things I'm thinking about. One is the rule of law. Where does the rule of law fit in and who's above the law? And the other one is just values. I don't know if you had a chance to read his Memorial Day statement, but it has nothing to do with the values of our country. It has everything to do with the retribution he's seeking. So how does that even remotely bring together the country, and how does that create an environment where we should give him a chance?
Well, first of all, Tom, thank you for your service. I really do appreciate it. You guys are heroes to me. As far as Donald Trump, I did not hear it. He's not the best at memorial statements putting a wreath at the unknown soldiers' memorial. He's not good at that, and I know that. He's had problems.
He's the commander in chief of our armed forces. If he's elected again, he's called fallen World War II American soldiers who gave their life in the fight in World War II. He's called them losers. He's asked why he should go to a cemetery where American servicemen and women are buried. He's called people, fallen Marines, suckers. He's asked, I don't get it, what was in it for them, to the father of a fallen soldier. He's asked why, if someone's smart, why would they join the military? Why is that okay for someone who wants to be the commander in chief?
Okay, first of all, I know what you're saying, but I have never heard him say any of these things. Now, he might have, but I didn't hear it. So I cannot
all due respect, and I mean this very sincerely. So what if you haven't heard it? If it's true, is that disqualifying? And if you don't believe it's true, there's a thing called Google. Like, is that disqualifying? Is a man that speaks with that level of disrespect about our military, isn't that disqualifying if you want to command our military?
I agree with you. If he said some of this stuff, it would be really, my esteem for him would just drop totally.
So, hey, Gary, I'm going to ask Brian if you're okay with this, Gary, because I think facts matter, and I know your feeling is that he is the guy. But if facts matter to you, Gary, and you're comfortable with it, I'm going to ask Brian to get on the horn with you. I will send you the article and some of the sound of Donald Trump saying these things. You can hear it and you can read it for yourself. Because Gary, I feel you, man. I believe that we want strong leaders, but I don't want a leader who will direct our military if he has no respect for our military. And what this man has said in sometimes these private conversations that has been confirmed by numerous people that heard it and reported on widely, I love that it matters to you, Gary. Gary, thank you for your call. Please keep calling me. I know you like to call the devils and they'll chop it up with you. I will too. We'll always try to give you a fair shot. Drive safe, Gary. Brian, if you get Gary's email, I'll send him the articles and send him some of the sound of Donald Trump. Here was Donald Trump's Truth Social statement, Gary. If you're still there, he said this: happy Memorial Day to all, including the human scum that is working so hard to destroy our once great country, and to the radical left, Trump-hating federal judge in New York that presided over, get this, two separate trials that awarded a woman who I never met before except for a quick handshake at a celebrity event 25 years ago, doesn't count, $91 million for defamation. She didn't know when the so-called event took place. I mean, it goes on and on. Then he starts
talking about one mention of thank you for giving your life for your country.
Tom, we were talking to Gary. We're going to talk more with Navy veteran, former congressional candidate and small business owner Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in Wisconsin, after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll keep digging in on Memorial Day and the Trump trial with my special guest, Tom Paulswitz. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Guess what, suckers?
Everybody, move your body. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this hour by my special guest and regular friend here on the Maggie Dawn Show, Tom Paulswitz. Welcome back, Tom. So glad you could make some time for us this afternoon.
Great to be here. Lovely Wisconsin day.
It is. It is perfect outside. Hope it is perfect in your neck of the Wisconsin woods. We're talking today a little bit about the Trump trial, a little bit about what Trump said yesterday about Memorial Day. Tom, we've got some callers. We're going to take a call and text if you want to participate. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Sam texting in from Milwaukee saying, one of the core problems with MAGA has been demonstrated. People forgiving Trump's actions as words, as if it is actually not representative of what he'll accomplish if he gets in office, and voting for him based on feelings. We talk about this a lot, Tom. Feelings aren't facts. Believe people when they tell you who they are. Donald Trump yesterday, it was like a 250-word rant, basically attacked not one, not two, but three legal proceedings against him, and didn't acknowledge, there was not one word of direct acknowledgement. The word thank you didn't appear. The word respect didn't appear. He basically said happy Memorial Day as if it wasn't a thing. I wonder if he actually even knows what Memorial Day is, but he didn't acknowledge members of our military that have given their lives in the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Tom, as a veteran, what was your response to that?
Oh, it's just, to me, it is, he continues to tell us who he is, which is, it's all about him. If you read that proclamation he made, there was nothing about anybody but what was going on in his life. And that's the part I don't understand, is he isn't interested in helping other people have better lives. He's interested in either helping himself look better or enriching himself or whatever he feels is the right thing going on in his life. So, and to me, it goes back to values. I've been thinking about this a lot lately is there's a certain set of values it feels like our country has ascribed to. And to me, Donald Trump doesn't represent any of those values. But, you know, like our caller, Gary, that just called in, he's willing to overlook what he says, thinking that somehow Donald Trump shares our values. And I just don't believe that's true. But it's really hard to convince people. I mean, Gary just hadn't taken the time to do the research. You know how hard it is, Maggie, to read everything and try to get rid of confirmation bias and figure out what's going on and able to sort through and say, all right, this is what's actually going on. And, you know, most people can't take the time to do that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, to those out there listening, including Gary, you don't have to give us your email. I'll make it easy for you. I'll send you the stuff. You can read it yourself. But you Google, did Donald Trump call fallen Marines suckers? Did Donald Trump say to the father of a dead soldier, what was in it for them? I don't get it. You can Google these things. You can Google, you know, why should I go to that cemetery? ? It's filled with losers, said by Donald Trump. You can go find these things. If that is offensive to you and you are inclined to vote for Donald Trump, isn't it your civic responsibility? Isn't it the absolute minimum that you can do out of respect for those who have given their lives in defense of our country to take the time to Google it and to try to find out if those things are true? I assure you, they are. Let's go to the phones. Dave from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think I called up about this before, but I think that these prosecutors, all Democrats, how does that look, have given Trump the nomination and perhaps the presidency. I think it would have been a lot more competitive, and DeSantis and others were within range of even potentially defeating him at that time in the election. And I really think they've done the country a disservice. I think prosecutorial discretion should have intervened. I don't think it's in the public interest, and they should have never brought these cases, especially the one that you say you're uncomfortable with, which I am too, of course. I mean, the other three are meritorious, especially the one in Georgia. But, you know,
I mean, can I just ask a little bit of a follow-up question, Dave? So can Democratic prosecutors not prosecute Republican politicians? Can conservative prosecutors prosecute Democrats or Democratic politics? I mean, where does that lead us, right? Isn't that setting us up for just admitting that or embracing the idea that, yeah, that justice is political?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, yep, you're here, Dave. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I just don't hear anything on the other line, so I can never figure it out. No, that's absolutely true. But there's a perception here, and the perception is clearly a conflict because it's all Democrats, number one, and at least two of them that I know of ran on prosecuting Trump, which indicates that it's very politicized. You know, no one, you know, what George Bush did was a worldwide systematic campaign of torture, and enlisting our allies to do that, black sites. I mean, everything you think of, like in the perception people have of what the third world used to be. I mean,
yeah, I think, Dave, there's a lot there, and I think criticizing and challenging decisions made by military leaders when it comes to enhanced interrogation, which is torture. Oh, by the way, the guy that wrote the memo that we're like, no, we just won't call it torture. We'll call it enhanced interrogation. That guy's name is James Ho. Guess who appointed him to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals for the rest of his life? Donald Trump. I worry about this idea that a Democrat can't prosecute a Republican politician.
But Maggie, I think this is even bigger than that. Weren't most of these cases brought forward through the grand jury process?
Correct. That I was going exactly the
grand
there.
Jury, isn't the grand jury process supposed to be non-political or apolitical? Because it's people looking at the evidence and deciding if there's enough evidence to bring a case. And in all four of these cases, the grand jury decided there was enough evidence. So that's the part I don't understand when you say it's prosecutorial overreach. This has everything to do with our system and the way it works. And I go back to my statement from before about rule of law. When are we supposed to actually apply the rule of law? And when do we make it seem political? And the reason why it seems political is because there's one person who continues to talk about whether it's political or not, which is Donald Trump. If Donald Trump wasn't talking about it, if it was political or not, it would not be politicized.
No kidding. We'll talk about indicting a ham sandwich and other various legal and other political matters with my special guest this hour, Navy veteran, small business owner, and former congressional candidate, the most reasonable man in Wisconsin aside from David Crowley. After your farm update, which is next, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join us? 855-75-CIVIC.
Bring back law and order.
Like a little Taylor Dane on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the Trump trial. Jury's got the case. Who knows when they'll be done? And we're talking a little bit about Donald Trump's comments about veterans in the past, about his non-observance of Memorial Day. And I've got with me one of my favorite guests, Tom Paulswitz, former Navyman, former congressional candidate and small business owner. Tom, what's your take on the hush money case? Is this going to just be a wash no matter what happens?
Well, play? Every time I listen to a caller like the last one we had, it reminds me that we live in bizarro world right now. Whereas yeah. if you would have asked a while ago, like, hey, you know, if someone's running for president and they're on trial, do you think that trial would hurt them or help them? The answer would have been resoundingly, it probably would hurt them. But because of the great PR campaign that Trump is able to consistently run through the help of the media, he's able to help forge the idea that this trial will help him no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's astounding that there's not a lot of pushback to that idea through just the general media, because the media tends to just report what's happening. You know, those longer term pieces about the long term PR campaign that Trump's been running since before he was elected the first time to try to change people's minds about what is really going on and help show that what he's doing is actually good for the country, even though it's still all about him. That's the part that I still don't understand why so many people are, you know, and fall for it's too strong a word, but just get sucked into it.
It's one of the things that that I consistently struggle with. Our supporters, MAGA folks, that will say, well, I don't like him or whatever, but I'm going to vote for him. Or even if that's true, I don't care. I'm going to vote for him. Like, when did reality stop mattering? You know, when did it stop being important to voters about whether or not a president has taken repeated shots and denigrated the military? Those used to be absolutely sacrosanct concepts. When would it ever have been okay for any candidate to say, I want to be a dictator for one day or on day one or whatever it is, or to use news clippings that referenced the Reich? it's just, when did that stop mattering to people? Like, oh, that we, even if that's true, I won't even bother to look it up. But even if it is true, I don't care. I'm going to vote for him anyways. When did folks collectively say, I'm going to turn off the gray matter?
You heard Gary say it would matter to him if it was true. And then my guess is he's going to go find out it is true, but it doesn't matter to him that it's true.
Yeah, right? Because he's not talking about what has happened.
He's talking about this person will reunite the country in a way that he feels is the right thing to do. And
yeah, he talked to Brian offline and told him straight out, I don't care if it's true, I'm going to vote for Trump anyways. Like, Gary, you're a man of good faith. Like, I believe that you want good things to happen for this country. Don't we owe it to ourselves and our families to vote on more than a feeling? Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's not a Reagan Republican. He has nothing to do with that. Reagan, if he were still alive, would be appalled. We're going to talk about some of the gutless members of the GOP, but to whet our palate a wee bit, just a quick refresher for Gary and anybody else who thinks they should vote for Donald Trump. Let's recall the people, I pulled it together in 5 minutes before the show, who have said Donald Trump's a terrible idea and should be nowhere near the Oval Office again.
Right.
As Vice President Mike Pence said this, quote, the American people deserve to know that President Trump asked me to put him over my oath to the Constitution. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. His first Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, said, quote, Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us. Defense Secretary Mark Esper has called him a threat to democracy. Right. He has said, there's no way I'll vote for Trump. But every day that Trump does something crazy, the door to me voting for Biden even opens more. And that's where I'm at. He's unfit for office. His actions are about him only and not the country. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, retired General Mark Milley. We don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator. We take an oath to the Constitution. And we take an oath to the idea that is America. And we're willing to die to protect it. First Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. H.R. McMaster is second National Security Advisor. His presidential transition vice chairman, Chris Christie. His third national security advisor, John Bolton, his second chief of staff, retired veteran John Kelly, has said this. It's truly stunning. A person that has nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our constitution, and the rule of law. There is nothing more that can be said if he's reelected. God help us. Gary, does that matter? I don't know. Former acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, quote, I quit because I think he failed at being the president when we needed him to be that.
Right.
Anthony Scaramucci, Communications Director Stephanie Grissom, Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao is First Secretary of the Navy, Dick Spencer, First Homeland Security Advisor, Tom Boser, White House Lawyer Ty Cobb, Former Director of Strategic Communications, Alyssa Farah Griffin, Top Aide in Charge of His Outreach to African Americans, Omarosa Maganalt-Newman, Sarah Matthews, I'm running out of breath. Cassidy Hutchinson, Olivia Troy, I'm running out of breath.
The list goes on. And here's the interesting thing is Trump's solution to that for his perceived second term will be to only put people who are loyal to him in office.
Yes.
It's not that these people were potentially correct in their criticism of him. The answer will be is to only put loyal people who would do exactly what he tells them to do in office.
Yes. And let us not forget, if you're talking about Trump's on the record, you can hear the audio. And maybe Brian will be kind enough to pull this back from yesterday. He said in an interview with Frank Luntz, Gary, if you're still there, go Google Donald Trump, Frank Luntz, John McCain is a loser. Said Trump. Quote, he's not a war hero. He was a war hero because he was captured. I like people who weren't captured. He later said, according to sources, I'm not going to lower the flag for that loser. This is John McCain. The man spent 5 years as a prisoner of war at the Hanoi Hilton. He was tortured and spent 2 years in solitary confinement. And you're going to vote for a guy, Gary, that said that about a man who served his country, who's going to say that he's not going to go visit the losers who died fighting in World War II on behalf of our country. You owe it to the veterans, Gary, to Google it, to educate yourself.
And that's John McCain, who was a Republican.
He graduated last in his class at Annapolis.
That's in that same interview, Donald Trump talking about John McCain. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, and that's from a Republican.
Yes.
John McCain was a Republican, and because he wasn't loyal enough, that was the treatment he got from Trump.
Again, this has nothing to do with country. This has nothing to do with what's good for you, Gary, or you, a listener, or any of our families. Everything that Donald Trump does or says is only and ever about what is good for Donald Trump. Cam from Appleton, you're on the show.
Hey, Maggie, thank you for taking me. Gary, I hear you call in to, I believe, not only this show, but Devil's Advocate Radio. And I think that you're not on the crap list for most of the listeners, unlike someone like CJ, right? So because everyone thinks that you're a reasonable dude to an extent. You do listen. But I need you to do everyone a favor and go back to the recording of this Maggie Don episode and listen to the part where you called in and listen to how you refute everything that Maggie said, because it's one thing to actively refute during a debate, but it's another entirely to hear what you said on a recording. Listen to what you said and realize how you failed to refute everything that Maggie asked you or brought up as a point to you. You had nothing. There is nothing positive to say about this guy other than if everyone just gave him a chance. No, he has shown he is incapable. He is a poison. We can't allow him to be president. I'm sorry, dude. Please listen to your own words.
Thanks, Cam. Take care of yourself. Keep listening. Keep calling. I just want to share some facts about what President Biden did for veterans. I think this is really critical. I teased it a bit yesterday. In 2022, he signed the PACT Act. But just in March, and they re-announced this just last week on May 21st, made this clearer. They have made it much easier for veterans to obtain benefits. The PACT Act has allowed 1 million related claims related to toxic exposures that have now been granted. More than 888,000 veterans and survivors across all 50 states and U.S. territories are now receiving a service-connected disability benefit. Think burn pits in Afghanistan and Iraq. The VA under President Joe Biden has processed claims at the fastest rate in history. The fastest rate in history. More than 5.4 million veterans have received free screenings by executive order by Joe Biden for toxic exposures under the PACT Act and a further executive order. Since enactment, the VA has delivered more than $5.7 billion in earned PACT Act-related benefits to veterans and their survivor. Again, the VA is doing this at the fastest rate in history, processing 1.57 million total claims thus far in 2024, 28% more year-to-date than the previous all-time record. In total, the VA has processed 1.3 million PACT Act claims since August 10, 2022, which was the date President Biden signed the legislation. The VA prioritizes claims processing for veterans with cancer, delivering nearly $637 million in PACT Act benefits. Veterans and survivors are now applying for their earned benefits at record rates. Yep. Again, since 22, veterans and survivors have submitted 4.17 million total claims. This includes 1.65 million PACT Act specific claims. Here's two things I want to be very clear. Because of the PACT Act, the VA has been able to expand its workforce in order to serve veterans more quickly and more efficiently. They have achieved under President Biden their highest hiring growth rate in 20 years, under President Biden. And instead of phasing in over several years, which was outlined in the PACT Act itself, the Biden-Harris administration decided to make all conditions, all toxic-related conditions covered by the PACT Act, presumptive for benefits on the day that President Biden signed the bill. That was by executive order. This decision expedited the timeline for hundreds of thousands of veterans. By expedited, I mean they're getting benefits today that would have likely taken them years to get because of the administrative processing that the VA has. And this, just this past March, the VA opened up eligibility for toxic exposed veterans to enroll in VA healthcare without first having to prove a service-connected disability and regardless of their deployment location. This is 10 years earlier than called for under the PACT Act. Who did that? President Joe Biden. Because of that, more than 145,000 veterans have newly enrolled since that declaration by the president. That is Joe Biden working for veterans. I've got a veteran with me, Tom Paulsiewicz. We're going to have some closing thoughts. We'll take your final texts and calls when we come back just in a moment. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. More with Tom Paulsiewicz in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured.
Get over it.
Trembles when Tom Paulsiewicz on the show. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined this half hour, the whole hour, in fact, by Navy veteran, small business owner, and former congressional candidate Tom Paulsiewicz. If you have closing thoughts for the day, you can get them in here. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Do you have a smart speaker at home? Do you have one of those Alexa things, Tom?
I do, yes.
Do you know that you can tell Alexa, Alexa, play WAUK? And your smart speaker will pick up your local civic media affiliate as long as you, you know, use the right call letters like WRJN or WRCE. Kind of cool.
It is cool. And I've done it. Yep.
I love it. We have been talking a bit about the Trump trial, a little bit about Memorial Day. I wanted to just share with you, Tom, and get your reaction. One of Trump's lawyers in his closing arguments started to say this. Todd Blanche, Trump's lawyer in the hush money voter manipulation case, in the final minutes of his closing argument, started to say this: you cannot send somebody to prison. You cannot convict somebody. And the prosecutors objected. Judge Mershon interrupted and sustained the objection. Here's what is basically long-standing rules in a courtroom. Juries are not responsible for determining the punishments. And you are not supposed to contaminate a jury's deliberation over whether the person did the thing that they're accused of, or in this case, 34 counts of business fraud and voter manipulation in the case of Donald Trump. You're not supposed to have the jury, it's mixing. We're not at that step yet. You first have to determine guilt. Now, the thing that was really egregious here is that Attorney Blanche was a former federal prosecutor and totally knows that. Not only that, Judge Mershon had ruled on this before and wrote that the defendant is precluded from making arguments and introducing evidence regarding any potential punishment or other consequences to the defendant as a result of these proceedings. Attorney Blanche knew this. Mershon called it outrageous, told him to take a seat. It's not appropriate. It's not allowed. Oh, by the way, the Supreme Court also has made this clear in the Shannon versus United States case. written by Justice Thomas in a 7-2 decision. The principle that juries are not to consider the consequences of their verdicts is a reflection of the basic division of labor in our legal system between judge and jury. Information regarding the consequences of a verdict is therefore irrelevant to the jury's task. Moreover, providing jurors sentencing information invites them to ponder matters that are not within their province, distracts them from their fact-finding responsibilities, and creates a strong possibility of confusion. You're not a lawyer, but you...
I am not a lawyer. You are exactly...
And thank goodness for that. Lord knows we've got plenty of us roaming this earth. What's your reaction to that? I mean, it seems to me so much of Donald Trump's defense in this case, and again, it's not my favorite case, has just been obfuscation, lies, misdirection, attacks, and all sorts of other inappropriateness.
Absolutely. It's part of the muddying of the waters.
Yes.
Right. And it's also part of the idea that he backs the rule of law while not wanting the rule of law applied to himself.
Of course.
That's the ongoing theme here, because in essence, he's done everything in his power to try to have a mistrial declared, or a hung jury, or just to create, like you said, obfuscation to make sure that people think they don't know what's going on and there's way too much confusion, when it's pretty darn clear he did what he did.
Yes.
I want to mention one more thing that you were talking about, President Biden and everything he's done for veterans in the last, 3.5 years. One of the things I want to help people understand as a veteran is when people say thank you for your service, what veterans really want is a tangible thank you for your service. And I think what President Biden has done is one of the best 3.5 years of tangible benefits of thank you for your service. Because there's nothing more frustrating than talking to other veterans who know what it's been like, who've been there, who have things that they have to live with for the rest of their lives, and no one's willing to help. So that to me is incredibly powerful. And I think nowhere near enough credit is given to the Biden administration for making it happen. So thank you for bringing all that to people's attention.
Couldn't have said it better, Tom. Thank you for making it clear that thank you for your service that isn't backed by tangible benefits to our service members in the military is nothing but hot air. And we need a lot less of that from people like the former MAGA president. Ron from Milwaukee, you got a question about the Trump case.
Yeah, you were just talking about the Trump attorney being out of bounds for mentioning imprisonment as a possibility to the jury, which I fully understand. But what I don't understand is what happens if we have a jury finds him not guilty. Could the prosecution file for a mistrial on the basis that the defense attorney was outside the bounds of his authority?
Great question, Ron. And my belief is that the answer to that is no. Had they wanted to request a mistrial, the prosecution would have had to do so immediately. Prosecutors don't like mistrials. Defense attorneys do. The amount of expense that is involved for the state and the defendant, in fairness, is extraordinary when criminal cases, even small, straightforward matters, and this was not that, it is just enormous. Think of the difficulties seating jurors for this case. So, absent an immediate motion by the prosecution for a mistrial, which I doubt would have been granted, there would likely not be, and there wouldn't be a retrial if acquitted. Once double jeopardy has attached, once a jury is seated and a trial begins, you generally, unless there is a mistrial, will not be seeing a retrial of a defendant. What might be happening to Donald Trump? So as not to bury the lead, let me tell you exactly what I think is going to happen in this case. I think the jury is going to find Donald Trump guilty of a few of the counts. I think they'll acquit on a couple of others, and I think the rest may be a bit of a hung jury. Eventually, they'll come out with some sort of mixed finding. Again, guilty on some, acquitted on others, and Donald Trump ain't going to spend a day in jail. That's my prediction. You heard it here. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thank you to my guest, Navy veteran, small business owner, and former congressional candidate Tom Paulsiewicz. Thanks to all my listeners and callers. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. It's always better when we stand together.
All I want to do is be able to watch.